I really wish people would understand that it's not okay to ask them, well, what's wrong with you? Why aren't you married? That's not okay. It's just like asking someone who can't bear children, what's wrong with you? Why are you barren? Yeah. It's just like asking someone who's an amputee, what's wrong with you? Where are your limbs? You're asking me something in a way as if I actually know 100% of the answer, and I actually by myself can change that.
That's my good friend, Nicole Trapp. Her and Valerie Paul, you may remember Valerie Paul. She joined me in season one for Confessions of a Recovering Overthinker. If you have not listened to that episode, I highly encourage you to go back and do so in season one. But both of them are here today for a bonus Friday episode that is all about living single. We are uncovering the myths, the misconceptions, and the truth. Y'all, nothing is left on the table. This conversation gets so real. And it's not just for single women, but it's also for my friends who have friends that are single. So it's for all of us to listen to. In this chat, we discuss surrendering their list. Do they have a list? What does that list have on it? The assumptions that married folks make about them, the myth that all single women are miserable, and the tons of lessons learned while dating. Again, you don't want to miss this episode. I want you to share this with a friend. Let's hop in right now. Do you feel a tug or pull in your heart calling you to more? Do you feel like it is too late or that you're too broken to pursue the dream in your heart? Well, you've come to the right place. I'm Latasha, and welcome to the Overcome to Become podcast. Pull up a seat and join me each week for real talk, life-changing truths, and actionable takeaways. We are diving into any and everything that has been holding you back from becoming who you were meant to be in every area of your life. Hey, welcome back, friends. I have a very special episode today. I'm just overjoyed and overexcited. I have my friends who I've known for some time now. I wanted to bring them on together for us to talk about it, that single journey, single season perspective, and really just getting the real behind the scenes of it all. Share with us a little bit the blessings and challenges of this single season in your life.
Well, I'll start off with this one. I would say some of the blessings of this season of my life is I know who I am, and God and I are not arguing about fulfilling his will for my life. That's taken a little while. Like, I was like, okay, you show me what it is, but I don't know if I want to do all that. But, you know, more importantly, you know, when you finally agree, you just have a supernatural level of peace that kind of carries you through the ups and downs. And even more personally, I'm in a season of answered prayer. So that makes everything that you're going through easier. I would say one of the challenges for me in this season is for the first time in a long time, I don't even have a romantic interest in anyone. Like, there's just no one that I'm like, no. Mm-hmm. So it's taking some experience and some teaching. So now I found out through those things how to vet someone who comes into my life to discern whether or not I'm going to be in agreement with God's purpose if we get together, or if I'll be detoured from it. And I'm like, no more detours. I'm not doing that anymore. Yeah. So that would be one of the challenges.
Awesome. Wow, so good, Nicole. So good. I would say for me, a blessing very similar to you is this is a season for me to really get to know me, and I'm appreciating me more. Right? It's the shifting from, you know, having someone in my life, a partner, a companion that I look to validate or affirm me, and really focusing on knowing that I'm already validated. I'm already affirmed that I am worthy, and I don't need anyone else, right, to tell me that. You know, it's great to be reminded of that, right? But I don't need someone to tell me that. And so it's been really powerful for me to sort of start to peel back some of the layers and go beyond the surface of some things that, you know, perhaps I've sort of swept under the rug, right? Mm-hmm. And I want to be prepared for who God has for me. I know he's preparing him. And I feel like my single season right now is the intentional preparing me, right? That so that I am ready. I am ready. I also think the blessing in being single is you get to develop meaningful, healthy relationships with your family, with your girlfriends, with you really get to tap into some opportunities that you may not get to, right? When you get married, right? Because, you know, the responsibility, the commitment, you know, what to someone else might not allow you, you know, the liberty, mm-hmm. right, at times to be able to focus on, you know, just you. So I think that's a blessing. Now, the challenge. Wow. Let me see. Let me look at my list. No, I won't say that. The challenge of being single for me is that I do have some suitors. Mm. And it's been interesting to me, really, just in about the last 90 days. Okay. It's like everybody's come out. Where y'all been?
Oh,
where you been?
Do tell us more now.
They got together. They somehow got together and decided, let's just approach her all at the same time. And so, while that's a blessing, it's also a challenge because it's the discerning, Nicole, right? Something that you mentioned, this discerning and wanting to not feel like, oh, all of this attention is so good and get charmed into taking a direction or going down an avenue that I really don't want to, or what's not God's best for me. And while to some ladies who might be listening to this, that might not be a challenge to them, but I want to be in the will of God. And I want to be able to discern, you know what, yep, let me rule him out, right? He's not the one. And I want to be guided and directed towards the one who is for me. Now, it may not be in this group of suitors, but that's a challenge for me. It's like, oh boy, it's been a minute since I've dated. And there's sort of this natural pull, you know, getting the attention, you know, and it's not, it might not take as much to charm me as it might have before. So it's really kind of slowing myself down to say, whoa, wait a minute, Val, while all this is good, slow down. Don't get ahead of yourself. You know what? Stay in alignment with God, right? Trust him. Okay. That he's going to guide you and lead you to the right person, or the right person is going to be led to you.
So as you're thinking that, it made me think, now, I know this is thought of and maybe a little comical, but and be honest, if you don't want to share, you don't have to, but do you have a list? Do you have a this is what he must be, this is what I will not tolerate? And then has your list evolved over the years? Have you found an old list and then looked at it and went, really? tell us about your list.
Not the list, Nicole. I don't know if you have a list. I won't say I have a list. I've started a list, and yes, my list has changed. I will say that. I look at it now that I'm more mature and a bit wiser. Because my priorities have changed, my preferences have changed. And so what I desired even just 5 years ago is very different than today. Yeah, it's very different from today, and in alignment with Nicole, because I want to be in alignment with God's will for me, right? Yeah. It's the verse that comes to mind is, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. So for me, it's, you know, he will not only, you know, give me what to desire, but what to desire, right? He'll not only give me what I desire, he will also give me what to desire.
That's a word.
And that is my focus, right? Lord, give me the desires of my heart. I want what you desire in a partner and a spouse for me. So, you know, help me, you know, clarify that for me, if you will. Right. But now there are some non-negotiables. I'm just going to tell you, maybe we can get into that later. Cause some things, yes.
Just your two non-negotiables. I'm curious.
Listen, first of all, I do need you to work. Amen. Where are you, Nicole? You know, he doesn't have to work. I'll take care of him. No.
Oh, no.
Absolutely not. No. We're going to need a few streams of income, and I don't want to be the only one to do that.
Amen.
Listen. And you know what?
This is a good one.
I really want him. This is going to sound real. I don't even know how I'm going to know this.
Yes.
I guess it's not a non-negotiable, but I'm going to need him to be fashionable.
Listen, that's all right.
You heard my hesitation, right? I want him to be a nice dress. I want him to be intentional about looking his best.
So no tall white socks with the church shoes.
I mean, unless your pants cover that. your pants, cover those white socks. What about it? See them? Then I'm okay with that. If you have on some boots, some ankle boots, that's fine. Wear your white tube socks. As long as you have the boots that come up to your ankle and your pants past that, wear your white socks, baby.
I love it.
Okay, Nicole. Oh, I don't know if we're going to be able to get through this interview. We're going to giggle the whole time. Okay. Your list, Nicole.
No, I'm going to tell you this. This is from the perspective of a person who God had a really serious talk about marriage when I was 18, youngest person in a singles conference, had my first boyfriend. I was a senior in high school. He basically, you know, through ministry, tapped me on my shoulder and said, "It matters to me who you marry. So let me show you the kind of person that would be the best." Mm-hmm. And so since one of my prayers being so young was, I just don't want to go through a divorce. Like that was, I just like, God, please just, I mean, please just help me. So he didn't really tell me details about this list. So I made my own list.
Yeah. Okay. And then,
I'm telling you, I was like this, that, and the third. And the list was, you know, there's stuff that doesn't matter. He needs to be, you know, this many inches taller than me. And he needs to drive this car. And, you know, he needs to be from New York or from a very southern state like Georgia, Alabama. It has to be one or the other. He needs to be from an island with dreads. They were just all, you know, young people things. I don't know.
Yes.
So as I got older, I started making bad choices. So he was like, "That's your list. That's not my list."
Oh,
so he said, if you want to know why I asked you to marry a certain person and not settle, he started to write a list of really attributes of the heart and what kind of person he was. Somebody he's for the things on the No Way Jose part of the list, he has to be a believer. I don't want to argue with my husband about my beliefs. That was before I accepted the call to ministry and know anything about that. I just don't want to argue about my beliefs and why I want to worship God and why I want to tithe. I just don't want to argue, right? So the other things on the list were things that you really can't tell about a person, like their heart and their character, until you get to know them. So his list, I was like, this is so hard. How am I supposed to see that from across the room? I could see the beard I wanted. Now that was on top of my list, the shiny beard. But would you believe over the years, I've taken the beard off the list.
That is shocking. Because as long as I've known you, the beard has been on there.
Everybody who knows me who will hear this is going to say, I don't believe you. But I mean, what he's telling me to look for is so much deeper than the beard. He took my list, he rewrote it, and so there are things that I can actually say, like, okay, that's an attribute that he said, but then I also have to make myself not fall in love with those attributes when they show up. So that was my thing as a single, a challenge with the list was, just because he's five things on the list doesn't mean ding 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 he's the one.
Okay. Yes. Yes. Oh my gosh. Both of you, such a word. So then tell us, what is the biggest misconception around singleness that you're just like, I wish people would stop saying this, believing that? What is the biggest misconception about singleness?
Nicole and I are both leaning in. Like, who goes first? Who goes first?
If you all could see them, they're both just shaking their heads. Like, I know this could be.
Mine's quick. I'll go first because mine's quick. I think one of the biggest misconceptions is that if you're unmarried, you're automatically empty and unfulfilled.
Ooh.
I think that that's the biggest misconception because, I mean, I earned my degrees as a single person. You know, God's blessed me to be promoted in my career. I've accepted the call to ministry, so I preach. I'm a published author now, like all the things that I was like, I want to do this. I want to do this. I've done them unmarried. And honestly, like the closer my relationship gets with God, the less of that unattached feeling, honestly, like, I don't mean like I'm 90 and I'm saying, as long as I got King Jesus, I don't need nothing else and nobody else matters. I'm not 90, but around, he will keep you. And that means also keeping you company, keeping you connected to people who are good for you as well. So that's what I would say would be the biggest misconception.
I have to echo Nicole. The first four things that came to my mind when you asked that question was, there's a misconception that we're needy.
Ooh.
There's a misconception that we're not happy and fulfilled. And there's also a misconception that we are always lonely. Mm. There's always lonely, frail, fragile.
It
just is not true. It's not true. Miserable. I've actually had someone not say it to me, but I've heard it said, "You're not married yet. You must be miserable."
Someone said that out loud?
Yes. Oh. And they didn't say it to me, but I heard it said, and I thought,
oh,
wow, no. And this particular person that this was said to was far from miserable. Mm-hmm. Very similar to Nicole and me, fulfilled, great career, very successful. I mean, wonderful circles of friends and just continuous opportunities and open doors. But this particular person said, "Well, you're not married. You don't have a companion. You don't have a spouse on your arm. So you must just be miserable, sad." Ooh. What? And I don't know where that comes from. It's fascinating to me.
Yeah.
Why people think single people are not happy. We travel, right? We travel. We do things that we want to do. Mm. At least, you know, I do. I don't sit around and wait. Yeah, oh, well, great. When I get married, I'll do this. When I get married, I'll do that. If I would have said that, I would have still been at my parents' house.
Oh, wow. Come on.
Right? And even when I was dating, I'll be completely transparent. But the person I was dating at the time, we had talked about getting married, right? We've started to have conversations about getting married. And this was when I was still living with my parents. And we were talking about it, but there was no progress being made.
Mm-hmm.
So I took the liberty and said, well, I'm going to go ahead and purchase a house.
Mm.
So I did that even while I was dating someone. Now, this could be a whole nother podcast because that didn't go well.
Mm.
I can say there was a celebration of my taking my step forward. But there was also it created a little bit of challenge, right? Because but we're in a relationship and we said we're going to do this together. But now is the time. And if I wait on you, I might be waiting another year or two. And so even not what, and again, we can talk about how we define singleness too, right? But, or commitments, right? Or being in a relationship. But yeah, I think it is. It's just, you know, we can't do anything on our own or we're not complete.
Mm.
I've heard that said, right? That marriage completes you. No.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh,
no. See, I am complete through the salvation and my relationship with God. That's what makes me complete. It's not somebody else, right?
Yes.
I believe someone can compliment me, but not complete me. And so, yeah, that's what I've heard.
Yeah, that's a lot of pressure to put on somebody to you completely. It was very nice in the movie.
Right.
Yes.
That's a lot of pressure to put on another imperfect human that you have to come into my life and you have to fill every empty space. You have to fulfill every dream. That's a lot of pressure.
It's a lot of pressure.
Confidence in someone.
Yes, yeah. It is.
And it's unrealistic.
Oh,
it's
absolutely.
Unrealistic.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about security, when we talk about purpose, when we, you know, talk about that level of fulfillment. There's just, human beings can't really, you know, do that, if you will.
Yeah.
They can't really feel those areas in our heart and in our soul like God can.
Yes.
Right? And so you're right, Nicole, it is just a lot of pressure. It's like, why? I don't want that pressure put on me.
No.
I want you to come into the relationship, come into, you know, already made whole.
Yes.
Right? It reminds me, I'm reading The Hard Good by Lisa Whittle, and she had said, her and I had chatted a few weeks ago, and she had a quote in there that really just kind of slapped me in the face. And she said, you know, if you are not good, okay without it, then you're not okay. Right. So she said that includes children, husband, houses, cars, etc. If you need those things to be okay, to be fulfilled, to be the person that God called you to be, if you can't be without those things and still be you, then you're not okay. So what do you want others? I know you've all have said a lot of things. What do you want them to understand about your journey as a single person?
I think I would like people to know that it is a journey, right? We are really at the prime of our lives when God has us completely to himself. Mm-hmm. So the self-discovery value that you talked about, like, that's important. And it really makes a difference in all of our different relationships. And I really wish people would understand that it's not okay to ask them, well, what's wrong with you? Why aren't you married? That's not okay. It's just like asking someone who can't bear children, what's wrong with you? Why are you barren? Yeah. It's just like asking someone who's an amputee, what's wrong with you? Where are your limbs? You're asking me something in a way as if I actually know 100% of the answer, and I actually by myself can change that. So there's a lot of insensitivities there when people do that. And I know they probably mean well, especially when it comes after a list of compliments, like, oh, you're so anointed. Oh, you're beautiful. Oh, you have, you know, all these great things. Well, what's wrong? Why are you married? And I'm like, why am I not married? Because I'm not married. And then it's also bad when you say, well, look at so-and-so or Dr. So-and-so or Pastor so-and-so or Mr. So-and-so or Director so-and-so. Why isn't he married? Why don't you go and talk to him and let him know that you're single? I just wish they would know that if God has allowed our journey to be unmarried, then he knows when it's best to change that. But we're on a journey that's just as significant as someone who is married.
Amen to that. Amen to that. I love that.
I love what you said, Nicole. Certainly in agreement with it. And I want to piggyback on what you said about what some people say, you know, often. And one of the things, yes, they say, what's wrong with you? Something must be wrong with you. Or you're not getting any younger. You're not getting any younger. And the one that I hear quite a bit, because perhaps I am, why are you so picky? I choose to believe that I'm selective.
Yes. Yeah.
You say picky, I say selective, tomato, tomato, right? But again, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, right? I mean, yes, I have a standard. I do. Yes. Mm-hmm. Just like we talked earlier about those non-negotiables, that list. No, I have a standard. You might call it a list of, you know, you're so picky, but no, I know, I have a pretty good idea of what God wants for me. Mm-hmm. And so, you know what, that's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm hoping for. That's what I'm praying for, right? That's what I know he is capable of and willing to offer me when the time is right. And I would say very similar to Nicole, it is a journey. Mm-hmm. It is a journey. I think a lot of single women focus so much on getting to that point that, you know, to have an appreciation for the process, right? What you learn along the way, what you learn about yourself, what you learn about others, with all of that, how your desires shift and change, how you change. And, you know, as you continue to grow and expand and mature. And I would say, if there was one piece of advice I would give, I would say, stop searching for the right person and focus on becoming the right person.
That's good.
Right? Put your attention that you're seeking, that you're searching for, that, you know, I want him to look at me and notice me and pay attention to me. Right. Well, how about put that attention on yourself? Put that attention in, you know what, writing your list and presenting it to God. You know what, and saying, God, is this what you want for me? Right. Mm-hmm. Because I want to be in alignment with your will for me. So yeah, just take the focus off trying to search for, and especially for single women. I think today what we're seeing too in this day and age is more, I could use the word assertiveness, but in some cases it's aggression.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. The thrusting, you know, towards, you know, what the women are taking, making the first move and, you know, really being the ones to pursue. And I, you know, I won't say I'm necessarily mad about it. At the same time, the Bible says, because we're talking truth here, he that findeth. Mm-hmm. Right. That single women can't have that desire, right, to be found. But all this, you know, what do the younger people say? She thirsty. Right? Listen, can I go Bible? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, not a man. Okay. So anyway, but yeah, that's what they say, right? Oh, she's thirsty, right? And so it's like, yeah, no, you don't have to be, right? No. Just, you know what? Singleness doesn't mean secondness. I saw that the other day.
Oh, that's good.
Doesn't mean secondness. Mm. Right. But I think sometimes, you know, single women put themselves, you know, or look at themselves as not being worthy enough, or because I'm not married, because I'm not in a relationship, you know, they place their value. You measure their value and their worth and their purpose up against whether or not they have a partner or a spouse. Mm. And I'm just like, no, that's so backwards. That's not it.
It is. So, what has waiting taught you, and how has your perspective changed about God? Have you gotten frustrated with God during this season? And what's going on through your mind? Because I know there's somebody listening that is maybe in that spot in their life where they're like, okay, I thought I'm waiting well, you know, I'm patient, mm-hmm. but now here I am this age, here I'm at that age, or I went through this relationship and it didn't work, and that one didn't work. Oh, what has waiting taught you, and how has your perspective changed about God?
Yeah, I love that question, Latasha. The first thing that comes to my mind is, for me, the answers have been in the waiting. Now, again, I'm not going to discount our humanity, because naturally, yes, you know what, I want that, you know, invite to go out to coffee or for dinner or whatever. And yes, there are times, you know, where I look at my girlfriends, you know, who are married. And of course, you know, social media, right, brings so many things to, you know, to the forefront. Yeah. You know, and you know, you see friends or you see people who are out and about and they're dressed and they're dated and they're booed up, as they say, right? Yeah. I mean, for me, that reality, yeah, sometimes I'm like, oh man, when am I going to get that? Right. Yeah. So that I do have that. But then, because I am so determined to be anchored in the Lord, I remind myself to trust in Him and not depend on my own understanding, right? Because He knows what I desire. And I know that He's working it all out. He's got a good plan for me, an extraordinary plan for me, but there's a requirement. The requirement is to wait on the Lord and be of good cheer. Yes. And that be of good cheer is, while I wait, I enjoy life. I experience to the fullest what I can right now in my singleness. There's nothing, in my opinion, that I cannot experience. And I say that from the perspective of just things that, you know, travel, you know, shopping, whatever it may be, right? Writing a book, right? Furthering my education. There are things that, you know what, a lot of things that I can do, you know, that a married woman can do, right? And so for me, it's, yeah, the answers are in the waiting. And so just trust that. On the other side of that waiting period, OMG, the blessings, like the extraordinary, the even the unexpected, like, God, God, I prayed about this and I've been waiting on this, but you blew my mind. I did not expect. So for me, it's the, yeah, I'm waiting. Seems like it's taking a little long, but I am so confident that He's going to blow my mind.
Yes.
I am so confident that all of this waiting, all of these feelings of, oh, I wish it were me. Oh, yeah, you know, it's going to be so worth it.
Yeah. I love that. I would say that waiting has taught me two things about my Heavenly Father, or Abba Father, as I call Him. He is enough. So every time when I'm feeling that, oh, this is so big, this is missing, He consistently and faithfully shares His love and lets me know that He is enough. And He'll strengthen us when we get that feeling, you know, that you talked about, like, oh, I don't know. Yeah. He'll heal every pain of every relationship that doesn't continue. And He's jealous. Every time that I would be in a relationship and I would stop my prayer time and I wouldn't be studying my scriptures, it would be one of those, you already know I'm supposed to be first. So if this guy is taking my place, then you have to fix it. And I'll be like, wait. I'm going to pray. But you can't pray and you're thinking about him. Like, I literally need to have a relationship with you, no matter how much in love you are. And so whenever, you know, those days come where you're like, okay, you're enough. I believe that. I know you now. I know that you're there. You're always there and you're faithful. And so you just have to keep reminding yourself about how faithful he is. One of my favorite scriptures is Luke 1:45. Blessed is she who believed what he said, because he's going to perform it. So it doesn't have to be, you know, you're in a cathedral and another country and someone says, woman of God in the blue shirt, your husband's on the second row to the left. Look at him. No, I really believe that waiting has taught me I get to make this selection, but I really believe that God wants to be in the middle of that decision.
Yeah.
And I used to believe that I had to wait, you know, like you said, like the damsel, I had to wait until one day out of the sky, this man drops down like a balloon. No, it doesn't have to be that way. We can look at the scriptures and see that in Genesis, you know, Adam was, you know, resting. He woke up and God presented Eve to him, right? She didn't run him down. She didn't swing through the trees and drop down on him. Like you said, Valerie, you know, and then you think about even, you know, everybody wants to talk about the Ruth and Boaz, you know, she got some advice of how to be the vicinity, you know, but even in the way that she was in the vicinity and invisible, she was able to be seen. She was presented. She presented herself and he made the decision to pursue. So waiting has taught me that God's going to take care of it. He's enough. He's faithful. He's going to bless as he said he would in his word. And I don't have to make things happen. And I also don't have to stop living waiting for it to happen. And as you said, this is my unmarried season is about serving. The more I serve him in different areas, the more he reveals who he is. And so all of that emptiness really can't compete with his filling, because he fills your time. He fills your calendar. He fills your, you know, your relationships. He fills what you produce. And so waiting has taught me that as long as I continue to walk with him closer and closer, he's going to work out everything that needs to be worked out. There's no shortage of wonderful, amazing, beautiful, well-dressed, God-serving, worshiping men.
Yeah. Amen.
We only need one each, Valerie and I. So we're good to go.
Where you at? Where you at? No, I love that, Nicole.
That's gosh. Oh my gosh. You are preaching up in here. I love it. Yes. I love what you said about that. There is no, because you can really feel, especially when you start to hear those, I remember hearing those ratios, right? Well, there's, you know, 15 women to one man or whatever ridiculous ratio you'd hear. And then, I mean, you're like, oh, womp, womp, womp. So, and then it brews up in you this competitiveness where you do feel like you were saying, Valerie, somebody see me. Look over here. You know what I mean? Don't look over there. Here I am. And you feel like you have to be out of character and kind of just out, you know, and just out in a way where it's just not even you, so that somebody can see you. And so, you know, it's just, oh, so many great points. So many great points. Love it. Love it. Love it. So there's someone listening who is really struggling. And I want your last words to be to her. What would you say for the one who is just like feeling really desperate and feeling empty, kind of just, I really need to be with someone. And I'm having a hard time with this singleness season.
One of the things I would say is when you feel empty, you need to return to the one who can fill you. It's not super spiritual, but it's just getting back to the basics of daily devotion, preferably in the morning, to set your mind in the right direction. And then going back to the fellowship with people who are like-minded. Learn as much as you can about things that you're curious or interested in, but know that God is not a villain. He's not just punishing you with disappointment because he has nothing to do. Disappointment can be so serious. It could be something that is attached to our feelings. And if you're not careful, you can wear it like a garment. And we have to really start just really deeply connecting to God. So we're honest with Him. We can tell Him, I don't want to live this way, or I want to be married and I don't feel that there's any hope. Whatever gets your hope back on the right track and stirred up, whether that's reading the scriptures or whether that's watching sermons or whether it's just spending time in worship or whether it's volunteering, whatever gets your hope back, mm-hmm. that's what I would suggest that you do, because you're most attractive when people can see God's light upon you and they talk to you and they hear hope and they hear it's a possibility. It's, you know, He's able, yeah. I can, maybe I will, I don't know how, but it's not impossible. That type of life that comes from spending time with Him, it's really attractive. So mm-hmm. we have to kind of exchange those garments. I might be disappointed, but I might feel that for a season and I've got to take that off.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So good. Mm-hmm. So rich. So rich. From, gosh, I'm it's so in agreement. Listen, Nicole's got me like, I can't even know what to say at this point. Such, that was so rich and so good. I would even say from the practical perspective, be honest with yourself about mm-hmm. how you feel and surround yourself. Have a community of mm-hmm. friends, trustworthy friends, friends that are like-minded, mm-hmm. right? That can, you know, what keep you, help keep you, if you will, right? On the right path, right? Because again, those moments, you know, where you feel like, I might be detouring and yeah. not necessarily in the best way. Okay. Mm-hmm. But you want strong, wise, godly counsel, you know, what around you so that mm-hmm. you can be vulnerable enough to say, I'm feeling lonely today.
Yeah.
And somebody's in my inbox.
Oh, come on now.
And yeah. I'm calling you because
yeah.
I don't want to respond.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so that would be it's so important to be surrounded by the mm-hmm. right individuals who can help support you, whether it is a pastor or whether it is a therapist, mm-hmm. a best friend, you know, who really has your just good interest, just has your best interest at heart. Mm-hmm. And don't rush into anything just so you have something.
Oh,
yes.
Don't yeah. rush into anything just so you can have something. All mm-hmm. my girls booed up and they've got dates and I want one too, right? No, stop looking at that from a place of comparison, right? Mm-hmm. From a place of, and you may know the root of comparison is ultimately envy or jealousy. You know what? Just yeah. no, listen, don't rush into it just so you can have something. That's how you get your feelings hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think probably the three of us know it's hard to bounce back, you know what, from relationships that you've invested your time in, that you've invested your emotions in. And so, yeah, I would say don't rush, you know, just to have something and surround yourself with the right people who are going to guide you, who are going to support you in the right way. That's key. I'm surrounded. And so I'm grateful for that. I have those people mm-hmm. in my life, you know, mm-hmm. to be able to talk about it and for them to say, it's okay. How you feel is natural,
mm-hmm.
right? How you feel is natural. So, you know, let's don't dishonor our humanity and continue to remember, you know, what God has told you.
Yeah.
He's got you covered. He has good plans for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. And if your future, if you desire your future to include a spouse, you know what? If that's mm-hmm. his desire, he will be.
Amen. And,
but you have to trust in his timing.
Mm-hmm.
His timing is perfect.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
You know, you reminded me of something, Valerie, when you said therapist. The most selfish time we have in our lives is the unmarried years that we have. So when I say selfish, I mean enjoying yourself. And also, as Tasha likes to talk about, doing the work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, before you're married is the right time to talk about the hurts from your childhood and those generations that didn't make it before and what happened when you were a teenager and to let all that processing that needs to take place to deal with rejection and disappointment and whatever the case, wherever your life is taking you, that's the time to take to do that work. And also, as you mentioned, to enjoy yourself. A lot of people feel like, I'm going to save up every trip. I'm going to save up every victory. And then what is your life before that experience?
Right.
And I love the fact that you're talking about community, because community kills loneliness. It doesn't really matter what it's in, right? So companionship is really the antidote for loneliness. And the last thing I wanted to say is, it's so much easier to follow God's heart regarding a mate if you're not giving your body to someone who's trying to become your mate. I think the more we share our bodies and our souls with this person, the muddier God's take on whether that's a good person for your life. So I just want to encourage people to save that connection until after you know what God has to say about him.
I'm going to take a moment and let that marinate a little bit. Let that soak in just a little bit. Wow.
It's romance. It's romance versus intimacy. And we don't, we get it twisted. Because you can have intimacy. Right. Without the physical part, if you will, right? Of that romantic relationship. And that's a probably another podcast. But okay. So let's yeah, that's
You all are getting so I'm like,
I listen, I'm limited time, Latasha, but I'm like, we might need another hour of this, right?
I just couldn't let it go without saying that.
And what I was telling my older girls, I said, listen, you're waiting, and that God is not going to bring some nice young man into your mess. If you have mess going on and you over here and this and that, you know, I'm real with my children. If you have mess going on and you, God is not going to, I don't care what social media says and the songs about these weekend relationships and night and he's yours and your night and this your night and this my night, this, all of that stuff, right?
When you get older, the mess just continues. You're the key to my house.
Yes,
I can, and just come into the house and you just be here for the weekend. It's still for the weekend, mind
you. Yes.
It doesn't change because you get older. People don't grow out of that. Like, you literally have to mature your standards to say, I'm more than just a weekender.
Yes. I'm more than that. And it's not okay to be singing that and being that. It's just, it's not okay. It's not God's will. It's not what he wants for us. He does not want us having leftovers.
And being someone's leftovers.
Come on now. Being somebody else's leftovers.
Then you become a bag lady. Now, I would marry you, but I have, my heart is still connected to the last five jokers.
Come on now.
The last five. I can't smell their cologne without thinking about them. Because I've parceled out my soul to these people. These suitors have a part of my soul. And now you come and you say, I love you with all my heart. And then you say, well, I can't lie. I'll give you most of it. But some of the people still have my key to my house and a part of my soul.
Still attached.
That's the hard stuff.
Yeah.
That we have to, some of it is with counseling and some of it's with, you know, prayer and some of it's with fasting. Some of it's with like
a combination of it all.
All of the above.
Right.
All the above.
Blended.
Oh, come on. That could be some of the struggle of somebody listening right now.
Absolutely.
That you are trying to have it both ways, sis. You're trying to eat your cake. And have your cake, eat it too, and all of this, and crying out to God, and God is saying, let that go.
You got to let it go.
Let it go. Let it go, right?
God.
Yeah, let it go.
Make room.
Let it go.
Make room, right? What's that song? Make room.
Oh, yes. Come on now. Come on now.
I can't bring the right person to you. He's right around the corner. Oh. Mm-hmm. He is right around the corner, but I can't lead you to him. Mm-mm. Because you have no room.
Mm. No room.
You left no space. You got all this clutter.
That's real.
Oh, that's real talk right there. And we can't forget that, you know, every time that the Lord brings a word, like you said, to prepare yourself, get ready. Cause you know, God loves us enough to kind of just unction us in our spirits, like get ready, prepare yourself, all that. Just know that the perpetrators are on their way.
It happened in my real life.
They are on their way. They are on their way.
My real life. I was in all night prayer one night. I had just taught about the prayer watches of the daytime, gone through the whole message. We were all in the sanctuary, and my pastor said, God is sending your husband. You're going to look up and you're going to wonder, how did he get here so fast? Like this amazingly, incredibly encouraging word. Like, he's there. God knows you've been getting yourself ready. Someone in the room heard it and led me on a detour that I followed away from that readiness, away from that preparedness, away from being in the position. And I asked them when we broke up, why did you bother me?
Mm. Mm. Oh,
why did you bother me? You know, they never admitted, oh, it was a prophecy that said your husband's right here. But literally, your intentions were not marriage.
Absolutely. They weren't pure.
Mm-mm. And they knew it.
So, you know, I had to ask God to forgive me for following the detour, right? And then I also had to ask him to forgive me for waiting for this perfect guy to show up. And I had to let him do the perfecting that he was trying to do at the beginning. And I said, okay, I'm not going to get in the way this time. So, you know, when your season changes and you become visible again, we want to be ready. Like, I'm like, no. Mm-mm. So when people from the past who didn't lead me in the righteous way, when they try to come back, why are you here?
Why?
I didn't think you'd show up.
I closed the door. How'd you?
Those are the
changed the locks.
Yeah. I'm not going to accept those friend requests again.
Yes.
No. Ma'am. Oh, that's a whole word right there. So that's a word for somebody that got you those old flames.
Oh, yeah.
Right now, you know who you are.
Oh, yes.
With the old flames that are still following you, and you're following them. Okay, we'll leave it right there. But
lustful residue is what I call it. Lustful residue.
Come on now.
That's what I call it. It's a lustful residue.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Ooh,
you need to be washed and cleansed of that.
Come on now. Oh.
And don't go back.
And don't go back.
Don't go back.
Don't go back. Don't go back.
Block, remove, unfriend, whatever you need to do.
Yes.
Like your life depends on it.
Because it does.
So friends, if you are listening, for those, oh my gosh, we just get in our own way sometimes. We get in our own way. We try to help the Lord out. Right? I'm guilty. Help the Lord out. The good news, the great news is that God is a redeemer. He is a restorer. And he will take those pieces that we have indeed made raggedy ourselves. And I'm a witness. He'll bring them back together, but we got to give him the pieces. We got to make room. So I have thoroughly, oh my gosh, I don't know if you all can tell by the laughter, I have thoroughly enjoyed this conversation, and so much wisdom and so much just realness and transparency. I appreciate you both. Where can the listeners find you? Where do you like to hang out on social media? Anything coming up? All the things you want to share.
Well, I can be found actually. Yeah, I am on social media on Facebook and Instagram. So Valerie Paul on Facebook. On Instagram, I am at Valerie Paul Speaks.
I am Nicole T on Facebook, and I actually have a Nicole Trapp author page on Facebook. Just recently published my first work, 31-day, I know, right? We've been waiting for so long. 31-day deliverance devotional, and it's on Amazon. The lead author is Angel Sumler, but I just a little devotional I did about God's love and how he just, you know, healed and restored my life, having not grown up with my father. And so I'm actually writing my first full book, which I will finish this year. So Nicole Trapp, author page on Facebook, and Nicole T for all the funny stuff and beard commercials and, you know.
I love it.
Well, again, all of that will be, yes, congrats, Nicole. And all of it will be in the show notes on how to connect with, please connect with both of them. And thank you again, the two of you, for sharing your hearts and your stories and your wisdom. Thank you. Thank you, my sisters.
Thank you, Latasha and Nicole. It was an absolute delight.
My pleasure being with both of you. Thank you so much.